This meeting of the House Labor and Commerce Committee will come to order. The time is 3:18 p.m. on May 5th. Members present are Representatives Carrick, Colomb, Burke, Sadler, Nelson, Co-Chair Fields, and myself, Co-Chair Hall. We have a quorum. Please silence your cell phones. We're asking that staff and members of the audience not approach the table. If you need to pass a note to committee members, please get the attention of my committee aide, Tristan Walsh, and he'll take care of it. I'd like to thank Nicole Bearden, the Labor and Commerce Committee Secretary, and Zach Lawhorn from the Juno LIO for tech and teleconferencing support. Thank you very much. Our agenda today includes public testimony on House Bill 182 by Representative Holland regarding alcohol licenses and live music and entertainment. Following that, we'll have invited in public testimony on Representative Jimmy's House Bill 173 regarding the Occupational Therapist Licensure Compact. Finally, we'll take up House Bill 149 regarding pharmacy benefit managers and third-party administrators. We set an amendment deadline and received one amendment for Representative Jimmy's HB 173 that we will take up. It is a technical fix that members should see in their packets with an explanation from her staff. We're moving Senate Bill 54 by Senator Klayman regarding the architects, engineers, and registration of interior designers to this Wednesday, May 7th, to accommodate public testimony. We received one amendment from Representative Sadler on that bill and will consider it then. So first up, we have House Bill 182 regarding alcohol licenses and live music and entertainment. We set an amendment deadline and received no amendments. It is my intent to pass this bill out today. We also noticed this for public testimony, and I'd also like to note that we have staff from Representative Holland, from Representative Holland's office and Representative Holland in the room and online available for questions. And I believe we also have online available to answer any questions are Evan Wood with the Brewers Guild of Alaska and Director Kevin Richard with AMCO. He is online. Okay. With that, I'm going to open public testimony. Public testimony is now open. Is there anybody in the room who'd like to provide public testimony? Seeing none, we will move online. Looks like we have one person online, potentially two. We'll start with John Blasco, Chief Operating Officer with the Anchorage Distillery and part owner of Harbor Mountain Brewing. Mr. Blasco, if you could please put yourself on the record and start your testimony.
Good afternoon. Thank you. My name is John Blasco. I live in Juneau, Alaska. I'm calling on behalf of Anchorage Distillery and Harbor Mountain Brewing Company to speak in support of HB 182. I'd like to ask that House Labor and Commerce move this forward to simplify our businesses. As manufacturers, we're allowed four permits per year to have live entertainment. They can only be held on our premises. And so to file for an application to get local police and law enforcement and AMCO to approve an on-premise event seems redundant and costly. So the ask is that you pass this forward to allow us to hold our events without that additional paperwork as we all continue to try and do more to bring the community together and be able to have events on our premises without issue. That's my support for this bill and the two businesses that I am associated with in the manufacturing industry. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Blasco. Next in the queue, we'll go to Sky Stacole, co-owner of Forbidden Peak Brewery. Would you please put yourself on the record and begin your public testimony?
Thank you. Yeah, hello. My name is Sky Stacole, and I'm part owner of Forbidden Peak Brewery here in Juneau. I support HB 182 as it removes a layer of time delays and costs for us to use our four permitted events a year. And right now, we have to pay both the local police and AMCO to process our permits for events that are held within our licensed premises. So eliminating this process will save time and money, and that money can be passed along to artists instead of onto permitting. And it just seems like an added burden to everyone to have it the way it is. Thank you.
Thank you very much for providing your testimony. Next, we have Josh Hegna, co-founder of Girdwood Brewing Company. Mr. Hegna, would you please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony?
Yeah, hi, I'm Josh Hegna. I'm the co-founder of Girdwood Brewing Company, and I'm in charge of our events. I'm in strong support of this bill. Current manufacturers like my brewery face unnecessary and unfair obstacles to host live music. I've applied for six of these permits, and here's how it's gone for us. We fill out that form. We send to local law enforcement. We wait for a reply, which in some cases can be a couple weeks. We submit to AMCO. We wait for a reply. AMCO's actually been pretty good. We pay a $100 fee. We print the permit. We post it in the brewery. This process puts a burden on us, AMCO, and local law enforcement. I ask that you please support this bill and help level the playing field for local manufacturers. Thank you.
Thank you. Not seeing anybody else in the queue online. Is there anybody else in the room that I might have missed that would like to provide public testimony? Seeing none, I will close public testimony. Oh.
Could I have a question?
Sure.
To any of the testifiers?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so this is Representative Colomb, and I don't know who on the phone could answer this, but can you tell me the background or the root of why you only allowed 4 events a year?
Representative Colomb, I'll just pick a name out of hat, and let's see if Josh Hegna is still online and available to answer that question. If not, I will go down the queue.
Yeah, I'm still on the line. That's a great question. As part of SB9, each manufacturer retail license was allowed 4 live music or entertainment permits per year.
Thank you.
I wish it were more.
Thank you, Mr. Hegna. Thank you, Representative Colom. Are there further questions from the committee for anybody online who provided testimony? Seeing none, this time I will close public testimony. Public testimony is now closed. Do members have any questions for the bill's sponsor, staff, or any other folks who are online?
I have a question for the sponsor.
Great. Representative Colom has a question for the bill sponsor. Representative Holland, thank you for joining us today, along with your staff as well. Please put yourself on the record when the time comes. Representative Colom?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Through the Chair, thank you for putting this forward. Seems very common sense, so I appreciate that. I just had a question on Section 7, the statute that you're repealing. So you're repealing the live and music entertainment permit for, I guess, these 3 groups. I just wanted to know, and maybe you don't know this, but is that live music and entertainment permit still alive in statute, or is this repealing it altogether, or is it just for the requirement for these 3 groups?
Representative Cameron Eversold, for the record, through the chair to Representative Colom. If you look at one of the supporting documents, that section of statute is the entirety of the live music and entertainment permit. So once that section gets repealed, that is entirely gone. And so.
Is there a follow-up?
Follow-up.
So it sounds like this was created for this situation. There's not any other, because I thought the live music entertainment permit was for, like, if you were going to have a wedding with alcohol or a special event. So I didn't know if that permit was still needed for different situations than this.
Through the chair to Representative Colom, that section of statute in Title IV contains a variety of different permit types. And so if you look at the surrounding sections of statute, it's not the only permit there.
Okay.
So the permit process in general is for things like in the sponsor statement, we describe weddings and nonprofits holding events. All of those permits are still existent, but those are all generally for a manufacturer to go serve their product, for example, off-site at a place that's non-licensed. This is the only one of these permits that's for them, a licensed manufacturer, holding something in their own space.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
Great. Co-Chair Field, do you have a question, followed by Representative Sadler?
Just a statement. I mean, it is so absurd that we're making people do a layout and have some bureaucrat sign off on something for the same space where there's going to be an event over and over. It's like the most obvious red tape to cut, so I appreciate the bill.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Measure. And to that point, actually, to the sponsor, this allows for 4 such events in a year. Why the number 4? Would 6 be more appropriate, maybe once every 2 months kind of thing? Or how did you feel about that?
Do you know the history of that at all?
Through the chair to Representative Sadler, the way I understand it, as I was not there, is that this was some kind of compromise to not infringe on top of dedicated live music spaces. Beyond that, I could not tell you.
Thank you.
Co-chair Fields.
I can answer that through the chair to Representative Sadler. Yes, the number 4 was important in the Title IV negotiations carried by then Senate President Peter Michicki. So, you know, I would like it to be 30, but the reason I haven't put forward an amendment to change it is I think it's okay. to respect the agreement but still manage to cut some red tape, which is basically the line that this bill walks.
Representative Carrick.
Thank you to the chair. I just wanted to note that, yes, there's a lot of precedence for the number four, and I think it strikes a balance when we have both an open market with breweries, distilleries, wineries. We have a very closed market in the rest of our alcohol industry. And I would personally also support buyback of BDL licenses so we could have a truly open market. Mm-hmm. That would be a really important fix in the long run if we were going to actually have a major open market. But that said, I do support the bill. Additional duplicative paperwork is nonsensical for these entities, and I appreciate the bill sponsor bringing it forward.
Representative Sadler.
You know, I actually will say there's a certain symmetry in having it before, because most of the music played in breweries is going to be in 4/4 time, so maybe four is appropriate.
Thank you for sharing your musical expertise, Representative Sadler. Are there further questions from the committee? Seeing none, Representative Holland, Holland, do you have any wrap-up comments?
Representative Kai Holland from House District 9, thank you for the time and the work that this committee has done to look at the bill. I appreciate the effort. I just want to also acknowledge that the effort to bring this bill forward is really a community effort, and the support of my colleagues to do that. I am fortunate to be able to help with this, but there's a lot of other folks that really did a lot of the work to prepare for this, so thank you.
Great. Thank you, Representative Holland and Mr. Ebelsold. Considering no amendments have been submitted, Mr. Co-Chair, may I have a motion?
I move to report HB 182-34-LS0856-A out of committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Madam Chair.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you. A serious comment, though. Out of an abundance of caution and respect for legislative ethics, I'd just like to declare a potential conflict of interest. I have on occasion played music in bars and made it again in the future. I'll take it up again on the floor. We just want to be really disclosive and let people know.
Much appreciated, no. Representative Sadler. Seeing no objection, no objection, HB 182 Work Order 34-LS0856-A is reported out of committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes. With that, we're going to take a brief at ease to sign the committee paperwork. Thank you. We are back online. Next up on this afternoon's agenda is House Bill 173 regarding Occupational Therapist Licensure Compact by Representative Nellie Jimmy. We have noticed this bill for public comment, followed by amendments. It is my intent to pass this bill out of committee today. We set an amendment deadline and received one amendment, a technical fix from the bill's sponsor. I'd also like to note that we have available online Deputy Director Glenn Saviors from CBPL in case any members have questions. So with that, we will go to public testimony. Public testimony is now open. Is there anybody in the room who would like to testify? Please come forward and put yourself on the record and begin your public testimony.
Okay. Thank you, co-chairs and committee members, for allowing me to testify today. My name is Tori Daugherty, and I am an occupational therapist. I'm testifying today on the behalf of the Alaska Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board, as I am a member and secretary of this board. The board unanimously supports HB 173 and SB 172, which relates to an interstate occupational therapy compact. The board reviews and approves applications for OT and PT licensure. If HB 173 and SB 172 are enacted into law, the board feels confident in its ability to handle the changes to the licensing process, including granting compact privileges. The PT compact has very similar language to these bills, and so the division and board have already navigated most of the necessary procedural changes that would be needed if the OT compact is adopted in Alaska. We are experiencing a critical shortage of therapists in Alaska, and the OT compact would improve our ability to recruit and retain competent and thoroughly vetted OT providers. By increasing the volume of OT providers in Alaska, this bill will increase Alaskans' access to OT services. This allows for improved health and rehabilitation outcomes. The OT compact would reduce administrative burdens by reducing unnecessary redundancy in the processing of applications by utilizing the home state's analysis of an applicant's credentials. This would allow the board to provide licensure privileges for these providers whose homes are established in another state with compact membership. The Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board strongly supports HB 173 and SB 172 in order to increase the workforce needed for Alaskans to access OT services.
Thank you. Could you please put your name on the record again? I didn't catch it.
Sorry, Tori Daugherty.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there additional, any other public testimony in the room? Not seeing any, we will go online, and we will start with Aaron Brennan Flores from Cordova. Would you please put yourself on the record to begin your testimony?
Hello, my name is Aaron Brennan Flores, and I am a sole occupational therapist in Cordova, Alaska. I would like to express my support as an OT in the state for HB 173 for an array of reasons, but primarily to increase the availability and accessibility of occupational therapist services in our large state. As a previous travel therapist, I am familiar with the significant burden of obtaining new licensure in every state that you want to practice in. This compact will allow our profession to flourish in equality with physical and speech therapists to reduce the barrier and the rehabilitation professionals serving these smaller communities like Cordova that are unique to Alaska. Thank you for your time and support.
Thank you. Next in the queue is Katie Johnson calling from Nanilchik. Ms. Johnson, please put yourself on the record to begin your testimony.
Hello, my name is Katie Johnson, and I'm an occupational therapist in Nanilchik, Alaska, and the vice president of the Alaska OT Association. I'm in full support of this bill, as I believe it could decrease the barriers that Alaska faces in providing OT services, especially in more rural areas. There are not enough OTs on the peninsula to serve all settings and populations, and so ultimately this creates long wait lists and less frequent services for patients. Many settings here rely on travel therapists pretty often, and this causes a delay in care, as these out-of-state travelers have to go through a lengthy process to receive an Alaska license. Having this compact license could really solve the problems of wait lists and therapy frequency concerns, ensuring that rural Alaskans receive vital services following illness and injury. I'm in full support of this bill, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Next in the queue, we have Danielle Keller calling from Anchorage. Ms. Keller, would you please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony?
Hi, my name is Danielle Keller, and I'm an occupational therapist that practices in the Anchorage area. I'm testifying in support of HB 173 for the OT Compact. I'm also currently serving on the board of directors for the Alaska Occupational Therapy Association. I've worked as a provider in the Anchorage area for over 13 years, and specifically at South Central Foundation. The shortage of providers and need for additional OT support within the state is reflected in an average of 6 to 12-month wait lists for OT services and challenges in supporting the rural telehealth needs of Alaska. I have personally worked with rural intensive teams where children with high needs are unable to receive services for over a year and have to fly from their village to Anchorage to receive these needs. This bill will decrease those barriers for OTs to come and practice in the state of Alaska, therefore improving access to OT services across the state. I am in full support of Bill HB 173. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Keller. Next in the queue, we have Carrie Moore. Hopefully I'm pronouncing your last name right. Please put your name on the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Carrie Moore. I'm calling from Eagle River, Alaska. I have been an occupational therapist for 27 years, and I'm requesting your full support on HB 173 to assist in meeting the significant workforce need for OTs in the state of Alaska. I'm also employed by the University of Alaska Anchorage College of Health. In no way does my testimony represent the university, but I can speak from the educational perspective. The UAA program graduates 12 to 15 OTs per year, and this falls far short of the projected 74 OTs needed annually, as reported in the 2024 Alaska Healthcare Workforce Analysis. This legislation would facilitate expedited licensing for OTs moving to Alaska, and most importantly, support the healthcare needs of Alaskans. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Moore. With that, I'm not seeing additional people online for public testimony. Is there anybody else in the room who'd like to testify? Seeing none, with that, we will close public testimony. And now we'll turn to amendments. We set an amendment deadline and received just one amendment, which should be in members' packets. Mr. Co-Chair, may I have a motion?
I move amendment A.1.
And I'll object for the purposes of discussion.
There was just a drafting error in this amendment. A.1 simply deletes Article 3A and replaces that with Article 4A on line 5 of page 3.
Is there any additional copies of the amendment?
No. At ease. All right, we are back on record. So I don't remember where we left off, but I believe Representative Fields just explained the amendment. And with that, I remove my objection. Is there further objection to the amendment? Seeing none, amendment number one is adopted. With that, HB 173 as amended is back before us. Representative Jimmy, do you have any wrap-up comments?
No, I just would like to thank the committee for listening and adopting the amendment and moving forward with the occupational therapy. And I want to get on record that I would highly encourage us to be moved out this year, because if we do not allow occupational therapists to come easily to Alaska and practice, by next year our people will be suffering more. There will be a really high backlog, and this will affect all Alaskans, urban and rural.
Thank you, Representative Jimmy. With that, Mr. Co-Chair, do we have a motion?
Excuse me. I have questions.
Representative Klum.
Sorry. So, thank you, through the chair. So, I spoke to your office earlier, but I wanted you to speak to the commission part of this. So, all these compact bills have a requirement for us to be on a commission, and I don't know where they meet or whatever, but all the member states has this group. And there's a fee related to being on that commission. There's an appointment to that commission. I don't see the fee, the annual fee that we would have to pay to be in the compact on the fiscal note. And so I'm kind of unsure about how much this is going to cost.
Yeah, totally.
Brief at ease.
Hatties. We are back on record.
Yeah, for the record,
Thank you, Co-Chair Hall. I will, Representative McNally for District 38, I will have my staff, Keenan Miller, give Representative Cologne.
Yeah, for the record, Keenan Miller, staff to Representative Jimmy. I checked with the department on that question. So they said there is no additional need for funds or for any info addressing this because the board members usually will attend national conferences already. They tie the commission for the OT compact to travel for that and often pay for it. So they don't expect to need any additional funds or anything like that to make that happen.
Okay. Follow up. So I'm specifically, that's good to know that there's no additional fees to get the person there. But on page 18, F3 says the commission may levy on and collect an annual assessment from each member state or impose fees on other parties to cover the cost of the operations of the commission. So that's the, how much are they charging our state to be in the compact, I guess, is what I was trying to get at.
I will ask for a lifeline if the department is online for questions.
One moment while
we have somebody in person.
Okay, Representative Jimmy, you have someone in the audience who can help answer that question?
Yes.
Okay.
Could we ask her to come up to the dais,
please,
and testify?
Yes, please. And I'd like to note for the record also, we have Glenn Saviors online from the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. But please.
Yeah, so for the record, this is Tori Daugherty. Glenn Saviors would be the best person to answer the questions related to numbers.
Oh, okay.
For in terms of the person who's being appointed to the commission, mm-hmm. it would be an OT who's already on the board. And right now, I'd be like the best OT in position to do that. But we haven't officially appointed somebody to take that role yet.
Okay.
But Glenn would be able to answer those questions about.
And if you could you please state your affiliation again? I think I missed it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a member of the State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board, so I'm the secretary of our board. We're a board with 7 OTs and PTs.
Great. Thank you very much. And we'll go to Ms. Saviors online. Ms. Saviors, if you could please help answer the question and provide any context.
Absolutely. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. This is Glenn Saviors, Deputy Director with the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. Through the chair to Rep. Cologne, right now there is no fee set for the Occupational Therapy Compact. It is still sort of getting up and running, but that's not actually that unusual. We also don't currently have a fee to be part of the Physical Therapy Licensure Compact, and that one is live, and as a side note, went live in Alaska last week. So some of these compacts, they don't need the fee. They just have in statute the right to establish a fee if they need it at some point. But we do think we could absorb that cost because this will also reduce work for the division because it would reduce the number of applications to meet the process. So it would sort of be a swap there.
Can I follow up?
Great.
Thank you for answering that. Can you tell me how many states are in the compact right now?
Yes, I can. Give me just 1 second here. Keenan, you may have that off the top of your head, but through the chair, I believe it's 23. Is that correct?
Hi, for the record, Keenan Miller, staff to Rep. Jimmy. There are 32 states currently in the compact. I believe there are, and if you include the District of Columbia pending legislation.
Over and above the 32?
Yeah, and we have a map and additional materials on basis. And
perfect.
I can,
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Are there additional questions from the committee for the bill sponsor? Okay. Seeing none, Mr. Co-Chair may have a motion.
I move to report House Bill 173-34-LS0810-A out of committee as amended with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Seeing no objection, HB 173, Work Order 34-LS0810-A is reported out of committee as amended with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the committee paperwork. All right. We are back on the record, Labor and Commerce Committee. Finally, on today's last order of business, we have House Bill 149 by the House Labor and Commerce Committee regarding pharmacy benefits managers and third-party authorizers. The last time we heard this was on March 31st. Co-Chair Fields is here and available to provide a brief recap. And we also have Deputy Director of Insurance, Heather Carpenter, on the line as well to answer any questions. After the recap, we'll look to the will of the committee in regards to passage of this bill or setting an amendment deadline for later this week. With that, Co-Chair Fields, could you please provide us with a brief recap?
Sure. House Bill 149 is a cleanup bill drafted by Lori Winghire and Heather Carpenter. Thank you, Ms. Winghire and Ms. Carpenter. And all it does is just make sure that the Division of Insurance can implement what last year was House Bill 226 introduced by Justin Ruffridge to modernize PBM regulation. Basically, there are some PBMs who are calling themselves third-party administrators. DOI, Division of Insurance, should be able to regulate PBMs equally, whether they call themselves a third-party administrator or a PBM. That's all the bill does. And yeah, it does go to HECS next, so just in the interest of supporting implementation of last year's bill, 226, I would be supportive of moving it on and trying to get it across the finish line.
Thank you, Co-Chair Fields. Do we have any questions from the committee or for Deputy Director Carpenter, who's online? Okay. Seeing none with that, Mr. Co-Chair, do you have a motion?
I move to report House Bill 149-34-LS0786-A out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes, which are probably zero.
Seeing and hearing no objection, HB 149-34-LS0786-A is reported out of committee with individual recommendations and accompanying likely zero fiscal notes.
Well played.
All right. Happy Monday. All right. All right. Thank you, everybody, for the discussion today and for a smoothly run committee and all the discussion on all the different bills. With that, we're going to set this bill as that's not right. Where am I at in the script? Okay. I'm going to move on with some housekeeping tips here for the committee. We have a number of outstanding deadlines for amendments, and starting with HB 178, which is about medical debt information, that amendment deadline is Tuesday, May 6th at 2 p.m. HB 156, which is about disclosure of wage information, that amendment deadline is tomorrow, Tuesday, May 6th at 10 a.m. House Bill 138, which tackles behavioral health crisis surcharges and funds, that amendment deadline is scheduled for Thursday, May 6th at 2 p.m.
Thursday.
Which is it?
May 6th.
Addie's. Okay, we are back online, and I will restate from the beginning here about HB 138 regarding behavioral health crisis surcharges. That amendment deadline is scheduled for Thursday, May 8th at 2 p.m. And lastly, we have HB 110 regarding social work licensure compacting. That amendment deadline is scheduled for Thursday, May 8th at 2 p.m. That concludes our business for today. Members, please stay in the room to sign the committee report. The House of Labor and Commerce Committee will meet again on Wednesday, May 7th at 3:15 p.m. in Barnes Room 124. This meeting is adjourned at 3:56 p.m.